This is an iHeart podcast.
We have Biden subpoenas. Jim Jordan is here to talk about that. Yes, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the election results, the good and the bad from yesterday. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on I'm Right. Well, if only we had something to talk about tonight. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get to Jim Jordan here in just a couple minutes to ask him about all those things. I was about to tell you, here's the news of the day. But there's so much news of the day. Where do we begin? Well, let's begin here. We have subpoenas. Hunter Biden, James Biden, others. They've been subpoenaed by the House. And we'll talk to Jim here in a second about exactly what that means. But you should know they're going to have to go testify in front of the House. This does matter. The president's a criminal, and the evidence is going to be laid out there, and people are going to have to give testimony. That's a good thing. We're going to talk about the election yesterday. The good, there was a lot of it. The bad, there was a ton of that as well. We will talk about all these things. But Jim Jordan needs to address the subpoenas and this election integrity partnership, because it sounds so nice, doesn't it? The election integrity partnership, only it's extremely evil, and it's the federal government declaring war on you. And now I'm going to shut up and we're going to go talk to Jim about it. Joining me now, Congressman Jim Jordan, the big cheese, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And Congressman, I don't even know if we can fit all this in the 10 minutes we have, but let's see. We have subpoenas for people named Biden today.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, James Biden, Hunter Biden, and frankly, Jess, we want to talk, and I think is Rob Walker, one of his business partners, and we want to talk to a lot of other folks as well. I mean, I want to talk to this Kevin Morris, the guy that just, you know, shazam, out of the blue comes along and says, I'll pay your $2 million or whatever it was tax liability, pays his taxes. I want to talk to that guy. I want to talk to people who bought his art. So I think Chairman Comer is got a number of folks that will ultimately be on this list as we get moving in. And our committee is going to help now do some of these depositions, because we do 5 or 6 depositions a week. So we're going to help with some of these as we move through this to get to the facts in our impeachment inquiry just as quick as we can.
Congressman, can you explain to those of us who don't understand, and I'm mainly pointing to myself, but I'm going to act like it's everyone else. Do these people have to comply? They do, right? When you tell Hunter Biden, here's a subpoena, he needs to show up or he goes to jail. That's how this works, right?
Yeah, you can hold him in contempt. I mean, and courts particularly, it's one of the advantages of being in an impeachment inquiry phase of our oversight is courts have traditionally looked, if they take us to court, for example, say, no, we got to go to court. The courts have looked at, well, this is a power totally exclusive to the House of Representatives, the impeachment power. Maybe next, second only to the declaration of war, probably the most important power we have. So they look at that as like, okay, if the House needs to talk to this individual as part of an impeachment inquiry, then you got to show up. So we feel good about our chances of talking to all these folks. I mean, we even had yesterday sort of the unprecedented situation where a special counsel came and talked to us, David Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney and now special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigation. That's never happened before. But because of the nature of our investigation, he was in and answered questions about a specific area of his responsibility.
I am going to ask the question, understanding that you probably cannot answer the question, but David Weiss is a major concern for people who are paying attention. He was investigating, only looked like he was aiding Hunter Biden with his investigation, tried to get him some sweetheart immunity deal that blows up in his face because of a judge, and then he probably gets appointed special counsel to investigate him. So what's the deal with this guy? Is this guy in trouble? I hope this guy's in trouble.
Yeah, it's hard. And plus, it's a 5-year investigation. The one thing we got from yesterday,
yes,
which frankly we've got from every witness, we've now deposed 7 witnesses who were part of the investigative team into the Hunter Biden investigation. And the one thing that has been consistent throughout is the testimony of the whistleblowers, Mr. Shapley and Mr. Ziegler, the IRS whistleblowers, has stood up. It has been rock solid. No one can refute what those individuals, brave individuals, came forward and told us. Same thing happened yesterday when we talked to Mr. Weiss. And the big takeaway was, if you remember, and I'll do this quickly, this summer, Mr. Weiss wrote Congress 3 letters. He wrote 2 to me, June 7th and June 30th. June 7th, he says, I have ultimate authority to determine when, where, and whether to bring charges. June 30th, 23 days later, he writes me a second letter and says, well, actually, I don't. My authority is limited to my U.S. Attorney's District in Delaware. Well, it can't be both. You can't have ultimate authority and then say, no, it's just limited, and then still maintain somehow you're the guy in charge of making all the decisions. He further then writes on July 10th to Senator Graham and says, I have not sought special attorney status. I have had discussions with the Department of Justice. Yesterday, when he was asked directly, did you ever request special attorney status? He said, yes, in the spring of 2022. So he asked for it, was never given that, only received special counsel status when he asked for it this August. So he told us something in those letters that was not accurate. And we learned yesterday that he had sought this and wasn't given it by the Justice Department, which again is directly confirming what Mr. Shapley said took place during this investigation. So we're going to continue to dig into this. We got two other people we want to talk to who are part of the investigation, two of the attorneys, and of course the top assistant U.S. attorney, Leslie Wolf, who ran, frankly, most of the investigation into Hunter Biden.
Good grief, what a mess. All right, we have to move on. I'm sad we do, but we have too much to get to. What in the world is the Election Integrity Partnership? Because that sounds really nice. It sounds like they're protecting our elections. I'm all for it. What were they doing?
Yeah, just like the Disinformation Governance Board was you know, had this nice sound to it, but engaged in basically the same kind of activity. So here we knew that big government worked with big tech to limit our speech. We had that from the Twitter files and the Facebook files and other things we've learned. And of course, the big court decision we got in the Fifth Circuit. But now we know it was big government, big academia, and big tech, all working under this entity they created, the Election Integrity Project at Stanford University, all working to suppress speech. And it was disproportionately, you know, go figure, disproportionately targeting conservatives. President Trump, it was Molly Hemingway, it was Mike Huckabee, and Candace Owens. I'm sure you were probably on the list too somewhere, Jesse. It was going all targeting conservatives and conservative networks like Newsmax and others. Sean Hannity was targeted, for goodness sake. So this censorship industrial complex is just that. It is a big thing. Big government using our money funneled through universities where they created this Election Integrity Project. And then they had this software program where they would display, we think this post should be taken down. And everyone could see it. Oh yeah, we think this should be filtered. We think this reach should be limited on this particular tweet. I mean, total attacks on First Amendment free speech rights.
Tell me about Elvis Chan, this FBI special agent who's on camera bragging about his coordination with social media companies to make sure, of course, the election was fortified. And look, it's not a small deal, obviously, as you well know, Congressman. An FBI agent, especially a special agent, has incredible powers. And if he's using those powers to run cover for the president, run cover for Democrats and hurt Republicans, that's honestly one of the worst crimes imaginable in my mind.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him in for his deposition, and we're having a fight with the Department of Justice. We're going to continue to pursue that. We think he will ultimately be in for an interview. Remember, Elvis Chan was the key guy meeting with big tech in the run-up to the 2020 election, and he was the guy who pre-bunked the whole laptop story. He said repeatedly that we expect a hack and leak operation. We expect it to happen in October of 2020, and we think it's likely to involve Hunter Biden. Well, how could he know that? How could he predict the future? Well, he could know that and can predict the future because the FBI had the laptop. They had it all that time. And he's telling this to big tech. And then when it suddenly shows up, they're already kind of pre-programmed to think, oh, this is a hack and leak operation. And of course, they did what I think what so many people on the left wanted to happen. They suppressed that entire story and kept it from we the people just 2 weeks before the most important election we have, which is the election of the president of the United States. So yeah, we need to talk to Mr. Chan because he was part of that effort, which got, you know, I think got further used with the 51 former intel officials. We exposed that all earlier this Congress, what they were up to in furthering that false narrative about the laptop. So we look forward to talking to Mr. Chan. We think that's gonna happen real soon.
Good, I hope it does. Congressman, thank you so much, I appreciate it.
You bet, Jesse, keep up the good work.
Thank you. All right. Speaking of the FBI, the police state, our buddy Nick Searcy is going to join us next and talk about the most dangerous thing happening right now, our government turning against us. Before Nick gets here for that, let's talk about something else. You know that November 17th is coming, right? Now, what is that? That's the date where the government is, of course, going to run out of money. So what are they going to do to avoid any problems there? Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to borrow, print, and spend a lot more money we don't have. How's that work out in the end? Well, your dollar's destroyed. And you know what's going to happen. Look, I'm just giving it away. You know what's going to happen already. Take steps to protect yourself. Oxford Gold Group is how you protect yourself. How do they do that? They'll get gold coins or silver coins in your hands. They'll deliver it insured, anonymous, to your front door. You don't need a bank vault. It's not gold bars. This is a basic step normal people take. This is for normal people, not millionaires, all right? Go to jessekellygold.com. Protect yourself. You know it's coming. There's no getting around it. jessekellygold.com. We'll be back.
Chief Division Counsel and DOJ have approved a no-knock breach. We want the subject to be on display, doing the walk of shame, full visual impact. Any questions?
Are we becoming a police state?
Our main priority as a bureau is going to be domestic terrorism.
Really paints anybody who's right of center.
If you're a pro-life, pro-family Catholic, they define you as radical.
These are anti-government.
We have freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
Violent extremists, and they must be dealt with. We can do anything we want.
Joining me now, that man, my friend, actor, producer, and apparently head of an FBI field office, Nick Searcy. Nick, man, I know you've had many roles in your career. That one had to feel extra yucky.
Well, you know, Jesse, I've played a lot of bad guys before. I've played serial killers and rapists and Klansmen. I mean, I've played a lot of Democrats. This was just one more.
Well, maybe that's why you're so good at it, Nick. Okay, it is a movie, that I want people to see. Because, Nick, there's something that it's driving me crazy. It's the pie-in-the-sky naivete I'm seeing on the right from people. I see it all over the place. I see it during Trump's trial right now. They're always shocked that the judge is biased and the DA is this. Why are you shocked? This is the country you live in now. You live in the Soviet Union.
Yes. I mean, I've been doing... it was an honor to be in police state. I mean, I've been working on the January 6th documentaries for the past 3 years now and just sort of seeing what all these people are going through. None of this is a shock to me. And the really disturbing thing is that either people don't know what's happening, or worse, they don't seem to care about what's happening because they think it's only going to happen to their political opponents, when the fact of the matter is they're going to get around to everybody sooner or later.
Oh, you bet they will. And maybe you're sitting there watching Nick and I right now. Is it Nick and me? I went to community college. Anyway, maybe you're sitting there watching both of us and you're thinking, wow, that was over-dramatization of an FBI raid. Okay, I want you to watch this footage of an actual one. This is a senior citizen, a nonviolent one in New York. Look at your FBI.
So I had a regular doorbell camera, and you could see in the sequence that an FBI agent comes up, so he put a sticker over the lens of the Ring camera. What he didn't know is that the peephole on the door was also a camera. If you have a legal search warrant and you're walking into a property, why are they neutralizing the cameras?
Police, start riot! Start riot!
Nick, tac teams, riot shields? Who is that guy, Osama bin Laden?
I know, it's a 70-year-old man who went to Washington, never went in the building, and showed somebody the next day a picture of himself in D.C. on January the 6th, and they treat him like he's a cartel leader. I mean, and this thing of them covering up the Ring camera, that is a universal thing. So many people have told me that that's what they did to them, too, so that they could not be recorded doing what they did in that clip.
Golly. Well, at least they're recruiting at Pride events. I saw this story came out yesterday. The FBI is setting up recruitment booths at Pride events. I'm sure, Nick, those people will be extremely hesitant, the new recruits they get from there, to infiltrate your church and your pro-life group.
Yeah, they need a diverse group of people to go after old grandmas and you know, nonviolent protesters on January 6th. You can't just do it with all white people.
Nick, you brought up January 6th political prisoners, and I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're one of the few big voices out there that's been speaking on behalf of these people. Long before presidential campaign season coming, you were speaking about these people. Give us the latest and greatest, their worst.
Well, we're editing together our sequel to Capital Punishment. It's cleverly called Capital Punishment 2. And this one is this one is much more about what the judicial system is doing to these people, how, you know, the lawfare is actually the procedure is the punishment for a lot of these people. And like as you were saying about the trial of Trump, these trials are a joke. These defendants who go to trial, who say, I'm taking this all the way because I did nothing wrong, they don't have a chance. One of the wives of one of the defendants, Colton McAbee, her name is Sarah McAbee, she said that the attorney that she hired told her point blank, save your money. Save your money for the appeal. Get a public defender, because these judges and these juries in D.C., they don't care what the evidence is. They don't care. You're guilty. The minute you walk in the door, save your money for the appeal.
Nick, all right, that's enough ugly. I'm of the belief, that I say it often, that we don't have a politician problem. We're always all about, I just got to elect this guy or elect this guy and they'll fix it. We have a people problem. The people are rotted right now and we need to fix ourselves. Doesn't mean we're hopeless, but we need to fix ourselves. And we do that with culture. And that's why I love having you on, because you're an actor and a producer. And that stuff matters. How do we begin to fix the people? It's a big elephant. We can only eat it one bite at a time. How do we fix the culture of this country that is hopelessly broken right now?
Well, I think, you know, the left has done a long march through the institutions. They've taken over our educational system from K through 12 all the way through the university system. I think that's where it has to start. I think these school board meetings, that's why the FBI is going after school board parents. People that go and protest at school boards, that's why they're going after them so hard, because they know that is the fix. We've got to get involved in our schools and stop this indoctrination process that is churning out these people that actually hate anyone who disagrees with them and agrees with the government, trying to put them in jail if they dare oppose the Democrat Party.
Nick, I can't help but look at your mustache, and I shaved in a mustache about a year ago, and I loved it so much, and it was a good mustache, Nick, and my wife hated it so much, and she's actually made some really, really serious threats if I ever shave one in again. Do you like your mustache? I like it.
I'm actually trapped into this mustache because I was doing a mini-series for Netflix before the strike happened, and we've got 3 weeks left on it, and as soon as the strike ends, I'm going to have to go back to that show, so I have to keep the stupid mustache until we finish that show. So it's not my choice.
Nick, keep it. It's magnificent. It's Nick Searcy, the movie is Police State and everything else. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. I miss it. I had a good one, too. And you know what's amazing? It's because of my facial hair. I could have done whatever I wanted with it. I could have gone handlebar. I would have gone handlebar for you. I could have brought it down. What is that, like the Fu Manchu? Maybe a little soul patch there, a little flavor saver. I could have done so many things. I didn't. Whatever. Anyway, you know what's awesome? Not being stuck in a timeshare anymore. That's awesome. You see, these timeshare companies rip people off. They do. Not all of them. This isn't universal, but it's very, very common. You get in this timeshare, and hopefully you have a good time. And eventually, you know, all things come to an end. You're done with it. So you say, hey, I'm done with it. And they say, no. You didn't read the contract. You're in it forever. Every year, pay the annual fees, pay the special assessments for something you don't even want, don't even use. You're not stuck in your timeshare. Lone Star Transfer will legally and permanently get you out. It's what they do. They are successful. 99% of the time, over 18,000 people have gone to Lone Star Transfer and gotten out. Make a phone call, man. You're a phone call from freedom. 844-310-2646. All right? Let them help you. Get the pros. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back. Okay. Let's have a talk about yesterday. It's you and me talking here. Let's have a talk about the election. Take a breath. All right, take a breath. There were a lot of good things that happened yesterday. There were a lot of bad things, really bad things that happened yesterday. And we're going to tackle some of those things here in a minute. Let me say this before we tackle these things. In the wake of an election, especially election losses, there are fingers that get pointed all over the place. This is human nature. As the old saying goes, victory has 1,000 fathers, defeat is an orphan. On the day after an election, people are sad, bummed. An election doesn't go your way. They're sad, they're bummed out, they're looking for someone to blame. And what they'll do is, and you've probably seen all kinds of this, you've probably seen it on TV, heard it on the radio, you read about it in print today, you've seen people making these sweeping arguments about all the races yesterday. It was all abortion's fault. It was all Trump's fault. Well, maybe if DeSantis helped, Mitch McConnell of the GOP. And here's the truth. Each race, every single individual race, this is an undeniable fact, has its own tale to tell. Are there sweeping things that happen? When Democrats are very unpopular, they lose a lot of seats. When Republicans are very unpopular, they lose a lot of seats, of course. But whenever you have somebody who sits down, and I bet you everyone you've watched or listened to today has done this, when you have someone who sits down and tells you that the attorney general race in Louisiana and the Virginia state delegation, they all went the way they went for the same reason, that somebody is either a simpleton or treating you like a simpleton. That's not the case, all right? So let's dig into things here and let's take a moment. First, let's deal with the good. I, just like you, last night as everything was coming in, I get off the air last night and I'm following everything on social media, I'm watching things on the TV, I'm texting buddies, phone calls ringing, and it was all the bad news, right? It was all the bad news. But did you know that elections themselves, what they really are is simply the revelation of where we are as a country, or where you are as a state, or where you are as a city. What do I mean by that? Well, have you ever had high blood pressure or know someone who is? And they find out when they go to the doctor, I know, because the high blood pressure runs in my family. You walk in, the doctor does your blood pressure and says, oh my gosh, you're 160 over 100. Well, did that person just get high blood pressure when they walked in? No, they've had it. They just found out when they walked in, right? That's what elections are, a revelation of what we are as a country. We won a bunch of school board races, a bunch. All over the country. We flipped an attorney general seat in Louisiana. We have the attorney general seat in Kentucky now, even though we lost the governorship. All is not lost everywhere. And I'm not putting a sunshiny face on this whole thing. I'm going to get to the bad. And believe me, there's a lot of it here in a minute. But all is not lost. Normal people across the country are getting involved, and that's what can slowly but surely save the United States of America. We are winning school board races because normal people are getting involved. That's good, and we found that out yesterday. They were already involved, but the election results came in, and wow, we saw they're involved. Okay, that's the good. Now let's deal with the bad. We lost the governorship in Kentucky. We didn't have it, but we lost the race. Cameron lost to this Beshear guy. Okay, that sucks, right? How does a red state like Kentucky go for this idiot? Well, again, remember just 2 minutes ago when I said each race has its own tale to tell. This family, they are Kentucky royalty. This guy's father, Kentucky royalty. This family's been around a long time, a well-established family in Kentucky political circles with a good reputation. That is going to be difficult to overcome. That's part of the story as well. Is there more to it? Of course, but keep in mind, this is a popular governor. All right? Now, what else? I'm getting to the big one, believe me. We lost the Virginia delegation. The Virginia House of Representatives is what I'm going to call it. They call things different there because it's a different kind of a place, but we lost the Virginia House. We had the governorship in Virginia, didn't have the Senate. We had the House. We lost the House. Okay, so now we have Governor Glenn Youngkin. Democrats hold the House and Senate there. Maybe you looked at that and thought, wow, that sucks. We really lost a lot. We actually overperformed in Virginia. We did. In the districts where Joe Biden had single-digit wins over Trump, Republicans won. Republicans overperformed yesterday in Virginia. Okay, good. Let's set that aside. Believe me, we're getting to all the really, really bad. Here's the really, really bad that happened yesterday. First and foremost, Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Pennsylvania is a critical swing state. I don't have to tell you that. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. And we really needed that Supreme Court seat. And not having that Supreme Court seat could very well cost us a chance at the 2024 presidential election. I'm just giving it to you right between the eyes. I told you I wasn't putting a sunshiny face on it. I'm giving it to you right between the eyes, as I always do. That was a critical election, and we lost. All right? Now, let's deal with the big thing. This is the big thing for me. Maybe it's not for you, but it is for me. Ohio. And the pro-life abortion thing. Ohioans, remember, I was born in this state. This is my state. All my relatives are there. I'm a Buckeye fan. These are my people. Ohioans went out, the people who voted anyway, they went out and overwhelmingly voted in favor of enshrining abortion as a right into law. They did. And this hurts. And what I'm about to say hurts, but it is true, and it's something we have to tackle. Ohio had a blood pressure check yesterday. They found out the blood pressure was high. But the blood pressure was high before yesterday. We just found out yesterday. We have a people problem in this country. We do not have a politician problem. We think we do. And you know why we do this? You know why we do this? That's Joe Biden's fault. It's Nancy Pelosi's fault. It's AOC's fault. It's Barack Obama's fault. It's you know why we do this? Because it simplifies things and it makes our problems seem so much easier. Well, if I just get rid of that guy, then we'll fix everything. If that guy's their problem, boop, we'll just get rid of it. If the people of the United States of America love abortion, and they do, then there's no politician who can fix a nation that is this broken. Now, pause for a second. I didn't say it's hopeless. I didn't say it's over. But what I did say is we obsess over elections. Elections don't matter at all. It doesn't matter who leads a nation of people who are so evil they want to snip a baby's head off in its mother's womb. Doesn't matter who leads it, Trump, DeSantis, I don't give a crap. The people must be fixed. So how do we go about doing that? What do we do to fix people? Well, here's what we do. We begin to speak to them when they're young. We begin to take back our schools like we did yesterday so we can teach appropriate things, including the respect for life in schools. We began to be more family-oriented, teaching people values, right, wrong, all these other things. And here's what I don't want you to do at all, and I saw this a bunch. I don't want you to give credit to Democrats for flowery ads they put on TV, ads like this one.
I was raped by my stepfather after years of sexual abuse. I was 12. Anyone who believes there should be no exceptions for rape and incest could never understand what it's like to stand in my shoes. This is to you, Daniel Cameron. To tell a 12-year-old girl she must have the baby of her stepfather who raped her is unthinkable. I'm speaking out because women and girls need to have options. Daniel Cameron would give us none.
Is that commercial effective on brain-dead morons without decent parents? Of course it is. I have two sons. They're 13 and 15. You could play them that commercial on a loop 10 hours a day, and they'd still look you in the face and tell you abortion's evil and wrong. We must begin with our children teaching right from wrong again. We have to begin again. And we're not doing that. But we can start, and we can try now. We have a people problem. Either we fix the people, or the country isn't worth saving anyway. All right? So let's begin there. And finally, speaking of fixing the people, why don't people show up to vote? People complaining today about the Kentucky governorship. Estimates are 30%. 30% showed up to vote. 30%. You know who I guarantee showed up to vote? People like this guy.
You try to overthrow elections with violence, and then you're out here among decent people. What are your policy prescriptions?
Have a nice day. You
rights?
Yeah.
Involving yourself in people's families and their bedrooms?
It's pretty wild.
You animal.
Hey, sir, how are you? Headed in to vote?
Yeah.
Could I get a Republican sample ballot? Sure, thank you.
You know, try not to be buddy-buddy with these people because they put on the face of a good neighbor. But they support lynch mobs or the KKK. Or they're Bible-beating bigots and freaks. Yeah, they're not good neighbors.
You can be mad at that vile communist all you want, but do you think him and all his vile communist friends showed up at the polls yesterday to vote? I guarantee they did. How many people talk about being Republican? I'm on the right. I'm this, I'm that. Didn't even bother to show up and vote. The numbers say it's a lot. Again, you can talk about this politician or that politician all you want. If the people don't care enough to show up and save the place, then we're finished anyway. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm still right now. We're going to move on here. Maybe the whole country needs a big old dose of chalk. Maybe that's what they need. So they actually have some fight in them around here. I personally, every single day, again today, I pull out my little old person 7-day pill dispenser thing because I load it up at the beginning of every week with my male vitality stack from chalk. It's three different things. And every single morning with my breakfast, I'm taking it. Why? Because daggone it fires me up, man. 20% increase in testosterone in 90 days. Can you imagine how you feel after 2 years? I can, because I've been taking it for 2 years. That's what you get at Chalk. And right now, they have an addition you can add to it. A pre-workout, all natural. These are all natural nutritional supplements. Chad mode. Get yourself fired up. Natural caffeines. Prepped and ready to take off like a rocket for the day. Chalk.com. Promo code is JesseTV. It saves you a ton of money because they have Black Friday specials and all kinds of specials right now. JesseTV. We'll be back.
A lot of videos of individuals who have been tearing down signs, many of these taking place in New York City, of Israelis presently being held hostage in Gaza. There have been some tense confrontations that have taken place there. Is the White House's view that these actions should be condemned, the pulling down of them, or that that's a form of peaceful protest?
Look, I've sort of kind of seen the reporting here and there. I think it was from last week, right?
There's been like 30 million videos that have gone around.
No, I know. I hear you. I'm just not going to.
Is that peaceful protest to pull that down, or should you not be doing it?
I'm just not going to go into specifics on that particular thing.
Let me ask you something. Honest question. There's no judgment beyond this. It's just a question. Is it confusing to you why she wouldn't just come out and say, hey, that's bad, I wouldn't do it? It can be confusing. If you don't know what you're dealing with, it can be confusing. If you've read James Lindsay's books like Race Marxism and The Marxification of Education, you would understand it perfectly. Joining me now is James Lindsay. James, for those who are very confused, it seems so basic, right? Okay, don't tear down posters, but she can't bring herself to come out and take a stance on that. Why not, James?
Well, because it's their religion and you can't really blaspheme the religion. The issue you see is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. And so right now, this stuff that's happening through what they're calling Palestine is favorable to the revolution. And so since it's favorable to the revolution, it has to be defended by the entire communist apparatus. It doesn't matter whether they align with Islam or not. It doesn't matter actually what they think about gay people or black people or any of the other things that we think are the big issue of the day. All that matters is that this is a wedge issue that they can use to drive an agenda toward the revolution that they are trying to achieve.
James, can you explain something for people who don't understand? In fact, I've been confused by this many times in the past, like the George Floyd riots, tearing up out all these cities. And people looked on at this and they thought, wow, this is really going to hurt Democrats at the polls. And it didn't hurt Democrats at the polls. And they're doing the same thing right now with all this pro-Hamas stuff. Man, this is really going to hurt Democrats at the polls. Why don't these things end up hurting Democrats at the polls?
Well, first of all, we're, just to say it, since we're on the air, we should point out that what's happening, you said George Floyd, this is Gaza Floyd. It's the exact same kind of operation being run on our society. And the reason that this doesn't hurt Democrats at the polls is because Democrats are in a cult, and that cult is called communism. And like I said just a moment ago, everything that benefits the revolution, they're on that side. The propaganda effort that goes down to the rank and file on the left is so overwhelming that there's only one framing to the issue that's the good understanding. I just talked to a 24-year-old from New York earlier who told me that the general consensus of her friends is that this Palestinian thing is what you have to be in favor of because that's what good people believe. It's a religion, a cult religion that has taken over the entire side. So when they run the propaganda, things that you think would hurt them at the polls, the people who are actually supporting them are completely in on mostly, this is what good people believe and do. It doesn't really matter what it is. The issue is never the issue. And bad people are opposed to it. Bad people like Republicans, bad people like conservatives. And what the most important thing is for the average Democrat voter right now is not to have anybody in their social or professional circles say you're talking or acting or thinking or behaving like a conservative or a Republican, because that's social and political and professional death if they are identified as such.
Yeah, you can't possibly understand these people till you understand they think you are the height of all evil. James, is there a point where the elite communist scum and the street communist scum start to clash? I always view communists in two separate groups. And the street communist scum, very useful. You need them to vandalize and assault and murder people. You need them at protests. You need them doing these things. But they can eventually become a liability for the elite communist scum, can they not?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think in this particular issue, we're seeing that this is why you're seeing out of the White House, for example, is this weird deflection to, well, we've got to be aware of Islamophobia, but you don't see the White House giving a full-throated defense of Palestine or Hamas. So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. We're watching, especially Jewish people throughout the country, but a lot of other Democrats throughout the country, horrified at what they're actually seeing. And so there is this liability. We saw this also back in March and April when the trans shooter rampaged at the Covenant School in Nashville, which is back in the news this week because some of the manifesto came out. It turns out that that was a major liability moment for them. And so, yeah, it does happen. It turns out that the street communists are difficult to control, and they get a little over their skis sometimes, if you will.
I'm reminded of the Soviets having their own man in Afghanistan assassinated because he was going too commie too fast and creating problems for them. James, what is the mystification of language? You talk about this on the podcast.
Well, you know, before that, I'll just say that I'm also reminded of when Mao Zedong released his Red Guard, and they finally got his power back by rounding up the president of the CCP, Liu Shaoqi, and they dragged him out and humiliated him. And then the next turn of the screw was that Mao came out and said, well, thank you for all of my power, my loyal Red Guard, but you're way too radical, you're far too left, And he sent the People's Liberation Army out to round them up and send them to the countryside and murder them all because, you know, that's communism for you. You're useful in the moment and then you're a liability the next moment. So I'm reminded of that too. But the mystificational language is how they move the ball the most effectively. They misuse words. They misuse phrases strategically. They speak in slogans so that what you are not able to do is really grasp what's happening. The people that are under their spell, the people that are out there marching, literally chanting the slogan from the river to the sea, don't really fully understand what they're chanting. But they know they're defending democracy, but they don't understand that democracy only exists under communism because otherwise the bourgeois have too much power and it's not real democracy. They want inclusion, but they don't understand that inclusion means a set of values where everybody has to be purged and censored so that the communists are always made to feel like they're included at the table and every other thing that happens. And so there's this sense where you don't quite know what anything really means, but you're going along with it because that's just what it seems like good people and the people in your social circle are doing. It's propaganda. It's the effect of propaganda on a population.
Why don't more break away? And I know some do. I'm not going to act like people can't wake up. People can wake up. People can be redeemed. But why don't more eventually, when it gets so bad, when you find yourself at a protest spitting on people, why don't more people look around and think, okay, maybe I'm not on the right side of this whole thing here?
Well, what's happening in our country is American Maoism, and you have to understand that what Mao taught, he separated the people into two groups that were called the people and the enemies of the people. And what he taught the people was relentless hatred of the enemies of the people. And he set up a strong identity politics program so that the people and their allies would be on one side and you would do anything that you possibly could to get included in that. And then the enemies of the people were treated with the full force of the dictatorship, the full force of censorship, the full force of the FBI coming and banging on their doors at 4 a.m. and stealing their devices and leaking it to the New York Times, the full force of all of these things. So people would do anything they could not to be in the ranks of the enemies of the people because the enemies of the people are the ones who are stopping us from having peace, stopping us from having justice. If we could just get the enemies of the people to stop, all this tension would go away. And so spitting on them, attacking them, you know, hitting them over the head with a megaphone so they fall on the back of their head and bleed to death and die, this is all necessary to stop the enemies of the people so that we can eventually have unity and peace again, because there is no peace without justice. You know the other slogan, no justice, no peace.
Revolution without end, as they say. James, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you as always.
Yes, thanks, Jesse.
All right. Don't you love when James comes on? Gets us a little smarter. It's important we understand what's happening and how these people think. All right. We have a light in the mood next. Before we lighten the mood, let's do something. Let's make life a little bit better for you and me. And what makes life better than your dog? All right. We love our dogs. They're part of the family. I had a birthday party for my oldest son last night, and there was the meathead dog in the middle of it, running around with the balloons and grabbing wrapping paper and just being a meathead. He's just part of the family. And I want that part of the family to live a long time, just like you want your dog to live a long time. That's why I give my dog Rough Greens. I don't give it just because it was created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who's a Green Beret and all these other things. I love that, but that's not why I give my dog Rough Greens. I give my dog Rough Greens because it's the only way he'll ever get nutrition. And if I give him nutrition, he'll live years longer. And if I don't, he's going to die at 10 like all these other dogs do, like all my dogs have. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag, roughgreens.com/Jesse, or call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Give your dog the gift of life. Give your family the gift of your dog's life, all right? We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And before we get to the actual video, I just want to say something out there. It's something, I know it's a lighten the mood section, but it's something that I feel it's important. I know about it. You probably don't know about it. And everyone needs to know something. Taco Bell does breakfast. All right. I know people think about Taco Bell and they're thinking chicken quesadillas and maybe you're thinking low-end white trash food or those things. And all those things are true. All those things are true. But McDonald's isn't the only breakfast game in town. Taco Bell has it and it's legit. You don't have to take it from me. This bear knows what's up. Just straight up thieve the whole bag. That's the funniest part of the thing for me. Taco Bell gets dropped. He doesn't come up and eat it there. This comes up and boop, it's mine now. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.